12. We're going to be again reading in verse number 19. And I want to title this tonight to finish up chapter number 12. Is Sunday morning we preached the power of prayer. And the only way I know how to title this tonight is the power of prayer number 2. Part number 2. Power of prayer, part number 2. Peter gets out of jail, and we're going to show you what prayer does. And when people get to praying, what it does in your life, what it does in other people's lives too. You ever thought about the prayers that you prayed, what it does in other people's life? Some to the good, some to the bad. Some don't want you to pray for them. Some don't want you to pray for them to be delivered. Some don't want you to pray for them to be set free because they like what they're in. They like what they do. They like the atmosphere that they're surrounded in. They like that kind of lifestyle. But when you pray, it does things in people's life. Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 19. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. We'll read through verse number 25 tonight. Power of prayer, part number 2. The Bible says, "And when Herod had sought for him and found him not," talking about Peter, "he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, but he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you so much for this opportunity to come to your house and just to, at a time of prayer meeting tonight. Father, we went around this room tonight and talked about the things that we are thankful for tonight, thankful for salvation, thankful for our family, thankful for the roof over our head, thankful for the shoes on our feet, thankful for the eyes that we can see, thankful for what you do in our lives, Father. Thank you for the air that we breathe. Lord, I pray tonight for all the prayer requests tonight. I lift them up to you tonight. I lift up Brent and Morgan Hartley tonight, Father. Lord, I pray you be with them as tomorrow comes. Lord God, I pray you reach down in a mighty way, Father God. Lord, I pray that your will be done in every situation of all of our lives, Father. I pray that I don't get in the way, but I get right in your will, right where you would have me to be. Father, I just pray tonight for the ones that all over this room that's got prayer requests tonight like never before, Father. Lord, the ones that are talking about things going on in this world, Lord God, the satanic attacks, Lord, I pray tonight that it be covered in the blood of Jesus. Father God, we know tonight that's not of you. Any spirit that's not the Holy Spirit is not of you tonight. Father, I pray for my mama. I pray for Wayne Knight. Father God, I pray for the ones that are sick. Lord, I lift them up to you tonight. Father, I pray not only for the physical sickness, but I pray for the ones that are sin sick. Lord, the ones that's lost, dying, going to hell. I pray that you give them one more chance. I pray they come to know you before it's eternally too late. Father, I thank you tonight that when we pray, we're just not casting up words, but we're straight in the throne room tonight by the blood of Jesus, asking you to move in a mighty way. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you just sit down amongst us and you have your will and way. Father, we love you and we thank you. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The power of prayer, part 2. As we come tonight and we look in this text tonight, Peter was delivered and set free from being put to death. When Peter came here, he was locked up and he was going to be put to death. And it pleased Herod that he be put to death, that he be killed as you come to this place. And the reason he was there is because the church prayed for him and God answered their prayers and they got him out. Satan tries to hinder us from praying because he can't hinder God from answering. Tonight, the only prayer that Satan can hinder in your life and the only prayer that he can hinder in my life is keeping us from lifting that prayer up to God tonight. But you know tonight, when you get to being what God's called you to be and that child of God and you get to praying, I want you to know you're going to have a target on your back, and oh, Satan ain't going to like you because you're praying and asking God to move. And tonight I'd say to you, do you have a target on your back? Do you know that, oh, Satan, when you become the Christian that God's called you to be and you start having intercessory prayer for people, I want you to know you're going to have a target on your back like never before. As we come here tonight, oh, Peter, Leading up from Sunday, he was in prison. He was shackled up with chains. He was in between two prison guards. But when that angel of the Lord come and he touched old Peter and the chains fell loose, he told him, he hit him in the side. He said, arise and get up and let's go. You're not staying where you used to be. You're going to get up and you're going to get out of this place. I thank God tonight, Brother Roy, that Spirit of God's come by me. He slapped me in the side and said, hey, you can't stay here no more. We got things to do. You got to get up from here. Well, we got to go. But tonight, it's amazing what a prayer can do. It's amazing what a prayer can do. When old Peter got set free and he got loosed from his jail cell there, I want you to know tonight that power of prayer. There's three things that it did here in the text that I see tonight. If you're taking notes tonight, you understand tonight that these three things will show up in your life in the same way when you get to praying. Number one tonight, I see in verse number 18, that power of prayer, it's amazing what it can do. Number one tonight, it terrified the soldiers. Hey, when they got to praying and old Peter got set free, it terrified the soldiers. I don't know about you tonight, but I pray tonight when I get to praying, hey, that old Satan, he gets terrified. I pray tonight that he says, oh no, he's on his knees again. But look with me in verse number 18, what the Bible says, had it terrified the soldiers that had been chained up with old Peter. He knew that prayer had been answered. These guards that had a hold of them, they wasn't a bunch of wimps, but they were men, and they had a hold of old Peter, and they wasn't going to let him go. Hey, but can I say to you, this chains of this world, it can't hold you when a prayer breaks through. The Bible says, now as soon as it was day, at night time, he had got loose and he had got free, but the Bible says, now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? It was no small stir because they were terrified. They were upset. You say, preacher, what got them upset? What got them terrified? If you knew the Roman law here, it required if a prisoner escaped, if you were bound up and you were being watched by prisoners and you escaped, the same soldiers that watched you, whatever your sentence was, that's what they would receive. And these men had him bound up, and old Peter was going to be persecuted, and he was going to be killed. But in the early hours of the morning, you know what? The angel came by and released him. I don't know about you, but I've battled in my life many a times, and it's been dark in my life. There's been desperate times, and there's been times where I needed God to show up. My daughter says all the time, Daddy, I'm in a hard place, and I don't know what to do. I said, baby, if you can make it to 1201, everything's going to be all right. Hey, because the Bible says, and his mercies are new every morning. You say, preacher, how do you know 1201? Hey, that's morning time to me. Can I get an amen? I know this Bible, it don't lie. If you're going through something in your life, I want you to know it'll be in that wee hours of the morning. That's that sweet time when he breaks through and he has fellowship with us. And he came down and he released old Peter. And them old soldiers, they got terrified and they got scared because they knew that sentence that was on him, hey, was fixing to come to them. They knew they done got a hold of something. Hey, somebody had done prayed. Somebody had done broke through. Somebody had done got out of this world and got into the glory world. Hey, I don't know about you, but I thank God, Brother Eric. Hey, it was a day in my life. Hey, my mama and my family, hey, broke through. They got out of this world and they got over in the glory world and they got praying for me and asking God to deliver me. And I want you to know tonight in my life, I'm not who I used to be. Hey, I want you to know tonight, hey, the most soldiers, they got terrified, number one, because they got caught up with, hey, what they were supposed to be doing and holding guard and doing their job they got caught up with. Friends, they wasn't asleep and they wasn't taking a nap. They was doing exactly what old Peter was doing. It was in the wee hours of the morning. They had done nodded off. It done got off in that time of night where they didn't know what to do. And I want you to know tonight, the Bible says it's time that we wake up. Hey, our salvation is nearer now than it's ever been. Hey, they got caught up in the as a guard. They got caught up in what they was doing. Look what the Bible says. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? They got caught off guard in what they was doing, but there was chaos among the group. Them two men, they done got chaos among them soldiers, and they didn't know what to do. They thought they had a hold on them. Hey, the world that we live in, they think they got a hold of you. They think they got you bound down. They think there's a satanic group that can come and do what it wants to do. I got good news tonight where the Holy Ghost is. Oh, Satan cannot resist. reside. He can't come into my heart. It's done been taken. It's done been reserved in heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's written down over yonder. And I was, whoo, glory to God. I thank God for that tonight. He said that they got caught off guard. They had chaos among the group. He's like, I thought we had him. I thought we had him right where we wanted him. Friends, tonight the old world wants to get a hold of you and it wants to hold you down. They were terrified. There was chaos among the group, but there was confusion among them. They didn't know what happened to him and they had no explanation. Have you ever had something happen in your life and you had no explanation? And everybody around you, they were terrified and didn't know what was going on, but you had a peace that passeth all understanding. I wrote this down. Prayer catches the enemy off guard. Prayer will catch the enemy off guard. He don't think you'll open up. The enemy don't think you'll open up and really give your heart to God and really cry out to God. Them dark things in your life that nobody knows you're going through, they don't know the path you've been down. They don't know what's going on in your mind. They don't know what's going on in your heart. They don't know what's going on in your soul. I want you to know tonight, well, prayer catches the enemy off guard. Tonight, if you say, preacher, I'm bound down. I'm terrified right where I'm at tonight. I may lose everything I got tonight. It may not go the way I think it should. Hey, get on your knees tonight and catch that enemy off guard. Get praying to God. Amen. Power of prayer number two. He said the prayer catches the enemy off guard because it produces chaos. Amen. When you get to praying, there's things around you'll get chaotic and it'll get confused. You won't be able to explain it. You won't know how it happened. All you'll know, it come from God. Let me give you this. Luke 1:37, the Bible says, for with God nothing. I'm not talking about some things. Luke said, for with God nothing shall be impossible tonight. With God nothing shall be impossible. Anything you need in your life, any touch you need tonight, you don't have to be terrified to go to God. You go to Him just like you are in the sinful state that you're in and plead the blood of Jesus on your life and on your family. Hey, tonight, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I see, number one, that power of prayer, it produced terror in them soldiers. They were terrified because they knew they was going to lose their life. They knew that that man had done got set free and they was going to lose their life. But let me give you the second thing I see tonight. Number one, it terrified the soldiers, the power of prayer did. Man, these men, they had it going on, but they got shook up. They had it going on, but they got shook up. Number two, not only does it terrify the soldiers, but it dissatisfied the King Herod. It dissatisfied him all the way to his core. Tonight, when you get set free, it's going to dissatisfy somebody. Amen. It's going to dissatisfy somebody. This week, I had to go with Brent, my wife, and we was I was on the ninth floor, man. We was way up there in the air. I would never rent that motel if I had to rent it. Can I get a witness? You're talking about dissatisfied. And as I looked out of that room, Brother Harold, down nine floors, I seen people valet parking. It was $16 to park that vehicle. I thought, there ain't no way you getting my money. Hey, ain't no way you getting $16 from me. You hear me? Ain't nothing wrong with me. You ain't parking my vehicle. I'm going park it myself. $16 a day. Can you imagine how much that'll cost you? Man, there ain't no way. You say, preacher, you tie. You right I am. He ain't getting my $16. And you know what? They was washing them cars and they were keeping them clean. And man, they was $90,000, $100,000 cars down there. They was some of them you plug up. Didn't even use gas, Brother Roy. They didn't even plug up. You know what I mean? You just plug them in there. They had them lined up down through. You ain't even got to drive the car. All you got to do is just sit there. You ain't even got to drive it. Well, tell me we ain't living in a convenient world. Wants to give you everything that you want, and you ain't got to work for nothing. As I sit up there in that room, though, and I look down, and I was just thinking, God, what's going on down there? And I seen them cars come in, and man, they were so nice. And if you get your car clean, you'd be aware of this. Amen. I'll just give you a little nugget here that's going to do you good down the road. As I sat up in that room, Brother Eric, and I looked down at all them satisfied people, and I just looked around. Everybody was happy. They was getting out. They was ironing their clothes. They was pressing them to the T, putting them back in their cars, backing them in there. They had to do nothing. As I looked down, I said, man, look at all them clean cars. The wheels was polished. The doors was polished. Man, them things was clean. And everybody down there was satisfied with what was going on. But the one that was higher than the one that was down there, if they seen what I seen, they'd have been dissatisfied. What are you talking? Hey, everybody on ground level was satisfied with what was going on. Son, they was whipping out that credit card, sliding that thing like you ain't never seen. You know, everybody likes to slide it to the end of the month. There's a payday someday, amen? You slide it all you want, but there's a payday coming. There's a payday coming, and you have to pay for that. And man, they had them cars shining, and everybody on ground level loved what was going on. Everybody was satisfied. Everybody was grinning. And I told my wife, I said, I want you to look at something. She said, what's that? I said, look at all the roofs on top of them cars. Every one of the top of them, look how nasty them things are. Every one of them roofs on them cars was nasty. I'm talking about $100,000 vehicles. They paid somebody to park it. They paid somebody to wash it. They paid somebody to clean it. And the top of that car just as nasty as you ever seen. Filth all over the top of that. You know what? Tonight when God looks down, I thank God when He looks down, He's not dissatisfied with me, but He is satisfied because He don't see me. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. When He looks down, He's not looking to see how clean I am. He's not looking to see how good I am, my righteousness. When He looks down, He is satisfied with me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I wanted to go down there and tell a few of them, man, the top of that car, I'd get him cleaned again if it was me. But I didn't get in that, amen? But tonight, I want you to see, if it looks good here, make sure it's looking good the way He's looking. He said, preacher, everything looks good. Everything looks lovely right here. Make sure you look at the whole view, everything that you see, that it be what God's called it to be. Number one, I see it terrified the soldiers. But number two, I see it dissatisfied. Dissatisfied King Herod. Let me show you this. He was dissatisfied what was going on. And because he wasn't the top dog, he got upset. Look with me in verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased. He was highly displeased. I'm not talking about a little grumble. I'm talking about he was highly displeased. You know what that means? That means he was extremely angry. Even though he had a high position on his throne, it didn't do him no good. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came on with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, therefore and desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, get this, he was displeased. He got displeased. He got dissatisfied in what was going on. This prayer had messed up what he had going on. When you get to praying, it might mess up what you got going on. Because, see, when you pray, it's got to be not my will, but thy will. Not my will, but thy will. It might mess up what you got going on. Now, if you're praying that it only gets your will the way you want it, maybe you need to change the way you're praying and get the way God wants you to pray and say, not my will, but thy will. Look what he says here. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in his royal power, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave God not the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. I see he was dissatisfied, number one, because he did not get the glory that he wanted, and he did not give it to God. And it costed him. Tonight at this local body or any church, I don't care where it is, if God's not getting the glory, it's going to cost that local body church. If the preacher's got to get the glory, if the deacons has got to get the glory, if a church member's got to get the glory, that church is going to fold. It's not going to be what God's called it to be. If it all the glory ain't going to God, we got problems. Tonight, because he did not give God the glory, it costed him some things. Number one, it costed him his earthly throne. It cost him his life, because he will not share God's glory. God will not share his glory with anybody tonight. It's not your way, it's his way. It's not my way, it's his way tonight. And I believe that so much. I believe the Bible teaches that. When I get dissatisfied, it's because I'm not getting my way. Friends, tonight I want to be satisfied and I want to get it God's way. Amen? Hey, I don't want to be terrified of prayer. I don't want to be dissatisfied with a prayer that's coming my way. I want to be satisfied with what God gives me. Amen? Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 42:8. Because he did not give God the glory. He didn't give God the glory. And man, I'm telling you what, it cost him. Look with me in Isaiah 42:8. I ask you tonight, do you give God the glory? Do you give God the glory tonight? Isaiah chapter number 42 and verse number 8 tonight, I'm talking about that God will not share his glory with nobody. He's either Lord of all or he ain't Lord at all. Amen? He's either Lord of all of your life or he ain't Lord at all. He won't take second place. He just will not do. Well, my wife and my kids, well, if they're above God, he ain't going to have it that way. Well, now, preacher, no. He won't have it that way. Preacher, no, he won't. He won't. He's got to be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. That's what he wants tonight. Look what he says tonight, if you will, in Isaiah 42:8. What the Bible says, I am the Lord. That is my name. Ain't that good? He said, I'm the Lord, and that's my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Let me give you three things he says there. he used very personal. He says, my name, my praise, and my glory. His name's going to be praised and it's going to be glorified no matter what goes on in the world we live in. At the end of the day, he's going to get his. Amen? Because he's God. Go with me, if you will, to Isaiah 48:11. Herod would not share that glory. He didn't want to. He wanted all the glory. God said, we don't do it that way. Go with me to Isaiah, if you will, 48 and verse number 11 tonight. Isaiah 48 and 11. Number one, it terrified the soldiers, and it displeased Herod because of the prayers that went up. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 48 and 11. Here's what the Bible says. For mine own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Tonight, ain't you glad of that tonight? That his glory, we glorify him, we reverence him, we uplift his name, we let him be the centerpiece of our life. He is exactly what we need tonight. I want to show you the third thing tonight as we'll close up tonight. It may be what God have us do tonight, get a little lengthy, but number one, it terrified the soldiers, power of prayer. Number two, it dissatisfied King Herod. I'm going to stop right there before I go to my third point. You're talking about how it terrifies people. I'll never forget, there was a man, I won't call his name, and he had a lot going on. And I went to his home, and I sat down with him, and man, I'm telling you what, he had a lot going on. He was lost at that time. And he had every excuse in the world not to give his life to Jesus or come to the local body church or do anything. And hey, every excuse he had was right. I didn't disagree with him a bit. When I went to leave, I asked him, and I called him by name. I said, brother, I said, if you don't mind, can I pray for you before I leave? And he said, yeah, I'll be fine. I said, but can I pray for you the way I'd pray for myself? He looked at me, and he said, yeah, I reckon. And son, we got to praying right there in that room. I did. He was lost. He wasn't praying. God don't hear the prayers of a lost man, only the prayer of salvation. Amen? When he repents, that's the only prayer he hears of a lost man. He don't hear it. Lost person pray all they want. God ain't listening to them. It don't break through. It don't go through. A saved person has that direct line to heaven. Brother Harold, that direct line. Amen. Ain't no $10,000 at 35 cents. Amen. It's a local call. Brother Harold told me a joke for a church. As we got to pray, and I said, Lord God, I pray you remove this addiction on his life. I pray that this alcoholic addiction he has on his life, I pray you remove it. And I pray every time he touches it, every time he thinks about it, he gets a sick that he throws his gut slap up. And if that ain't enough, hospitalize him with it, Father. Whatever it takes, just do it. Just do it. And man, I'm telling you what, we said amen and walked out, and I thought, boy, ain't you an idiot. You ever prayed like that and thought, boy, ain't you an idiot? Wasn't long after that, he come to the church and gave his life to Jesus. And he told me, he said, preacher, that next morning I got up going to work and I was going to stop and get some. And he said, when I poured in the store, I got so sick, got throwing my guts up right there on the side of the road, right there at the gas pump where I was going to get out. I was just throwing up everywhere. Let on. And he got saved, and he was in Tampa, Florida, coming back. And he called me, and he was squalling his eyes out. I mean, crying. I said, what's wrong? He said, man, I messed up. I said, well, how'd you mess up? He said, I got around another guys at a company meeting, and I drank the beer. I said, well, how much did you drink? He said, about half the beer, and I got so sick I couldn't keep it down. I said, good. I said, I'm glad you drunk it. What? I said, I want to ask you one question. He said, preacher, you're crazy. Just hang with me. I said, before you got saved, how many would you have drunk? He said, well, I'd have drunk a whole case. I said, thank God for that nitpicker. Thank God for that nitpicker. Thank God that you couldn't do what you used to do. Because there's something inside of you. That prayer's got through. That prayer's got through where God wants it to be. Tonight I pray for some of my family that way. That prayer would get through. That the glory of God, that the power of God would get in them and move on their life and deliver them from that stuff. Not to be bound down. You didn't get saved to be bound down again. You've been saved to be set free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. You don't have to have terror. You don't have to be dissatisfied. You can have God on your side and let him lead you in a mighty way. Tonight I see the third thing doing the text. Number one, it terrified the soldiers. Amen? Man, they were scared to death. They knew they were fixing to lose their life, and they did. Man, I see what it did to Herod. He was dissatisfied, but it multiplied the word of God. When a prayer goes through and you become that child of God, you become what God's called you to do, it's going to multiply. You can't add no more to that book. Anybody adds to or takes away, their name will be taken out. Amen? That's what the Bible says, book of Revelation. You add or two, you're in trouble. Listen to me tonight. I want you to get this tonight. You say, well, preacher, if you can't add two, how does it multiply? How does it grow? Because here it is. I can't add nothing else to that book, but I can add that book to me. Right? I can't add nothing else to that book, but the more that book I add to me, the easier it gets. And the easier it gets, the more I know. I believe it's verse 24. I may be wrong right now, but verse 24, look what the Bible says. I think that's it. It said it multiplied the word. The word multiplied. Look with me in verse 24. But the word of God grew. Not only was some terrified and some dissatisfied, but the word multiplied. We got to get to praying if we want to see God multiply this place. In your family, if you want to see your lost, but the word of God grew, family saved, then you got to get to praying for them that it would multiply, that God would use that. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. You say, preacher, multiplied the word of God. What? Who cares about the word of God? I want to give you three things before we leave about the word of God that you already know. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 24 and 35. This is why it multiplied tonight. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 35. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 35. Matthew 24, 35. It multiplied the word of God. Because the word of God, get this tonight, is eternal. This word's eternal. It's not temporal. It's eternal. And the Bible says in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When you speak this word and you pray this Bible over somebody, you pray this over somebody, you pray this scripture, you ask God to move on somebody. Listen, His word is eternal. You say, well, they ain't listening, ain't doing it good. You give them that word, it's moving. I done told you, it'll terrify some. They'll be dissatisfied, but it's going to move them. That word's going to move things. You say, how do you know, preacher? Number one, the word of God is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. But I understand that the word of God is extreme. Not only is it eternal, but it's extreme. Say, it's extreme. Yes, it'll do things that you can't do. It is extreme. Let me show you this. Turn with me to Hebrews 4:12. Sister Brittany said it Sunday morning. Hebrews 4:12. Well, I've been talking back to Brandy all week. That's good. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. You was talking about x-rays. And I was looking down this week. I was looking at the top of them vehicles. Shining everywhere but the top. Filthy as it can be. Paying the same price. Whoever getting their car clean, you're going to be looking this week. You're going to climb up on top. Look on that now. All right, Word of God is eternal, but the Word of God is extreme. Let me show you how extreme it is, the Word. You say, preacher, I don't know how to talk to my family. Give them the Word. Preacher, I don't know how to witness. Give them the Word. You're not giving them you, because you're not going to do a bit of good. I'm not going to do no good. The Word is eternal, and it's extreme. Let me show you how extreme this Bible is. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God, not Brother BJ, not Brother Jerry Gabby, not Brother Bradley Hush, not Brother Eric Caruth, not Brother Lee Markham, but the Word of God. You know what got my life? The Word. This Word of God, man, I couldn't. I'll never forget Billy Rogers when he gave his life to the Lord. Standing back there squalling his eyes out. And Billy liked to fight. You know what I'm saying? He said, I can't get my hands on it. I said, you never will get your hands on it. It ain't looking for your hands, it's looking for your heart. It was eating him on the inside. He wanted to get a hold. I said, you can't do nothing with it, son. You see, that's our problem. We want to handle it with these. We want to put our hands on it and handle the problems that are in our life. We want to be the fixer. And we can't fix nothing. We want to fix somebody. My wife wanted to fix me all them years, but she can't fix me. Because the problem lied within me. Sin problem. And it takes the Word of God to get to where it needs to go. Look what it does. It's extreme in what it does. For the Word of God is quick. You'll be sitting there thinking nothing going on, and boom, it'll be right on you. It'll saddle right up on your back. You say, uh-oh. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let me share this with you tonight. I'm talking about it's extreme because it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper. That's why Herod didn't like it, because it gets down to the soul. Look what the Bible says. It's the dividing asunder of soul. That, listen, it gets to your soul. This book will get where no other book will get. No other book will get it. Facebook won't get where this book will get. Listen to me. Tonight, any magazine, it won't get where this book is a living book. He said it's quick. He said it gets down to the soul. And he said it don't stop at the soul, but it gets down into the spirit. That's where that Holy Ghost, he gets down to the soul. He gets down to the spirit. Hey, you talk to somebody, make them mad and getting quick. But I'm not talking about that quick where you irritate them. I'm talking about it gets down to the soul. It gets down to the spirit. And it gets down to the third part of you. It gets down to the body. It said, listen, laughter's like medicine. The Bible said laughter's like medicine. A merry heart doeth a man good. This book, if you're sick, read the book. If you're happy, read the book. If you're sad, read whatever you want to read the book. Well, right now I just don't feel like reading it. That's when you need it the most. When I don't want to read, that's when I got to read. When I don't think I need it, that's when I need it. And I'm not talking about a devotion all the time. I'm talking about just a regular old Bible where you sit down with that thing and let it read your life. You say, preacher, I got things going on nobody knows about. I guarantee you that Spirit of God already knows. You can't hide nothing from Him. He says this. He says it gets down to the soul. It gets down to the spirit and of the joints. Joints and the marrow and a discerner of the thoughts. There's my mind. It gets down to the heart. All the way down into my old heart. You say, well, I got a good heart. The Bible said our heart's wicked and no man knows the heart. Tonight, let me give you this. Not only is the Word of God eternal, not only the Word of God is extreme, but the Word of God is effective. If you'll put it to work, it'll work you. It's effective. I promise you this tonight. I promise you this tonight. And I always go back to, some preachers say don't go back to your past. Well, they ain't got much of a past, evidently. I have to remind myself of my past because I don't want to go back there, Brother Roy. 15 years not using crystal meth. I hear people all the time say 1 out of 10 might get off of it. 9 of them's going to stay on it. I don't believe that. I believe a man of God, woman of God, get born again by the Spirit of God, they'll be delivered from it. So I don't believe that, preacher. I just believe it. I've been down that road. I know. Wanted to quit, tried to quit, begged to quit, cried to quit. But when the Spirit of God searched my soul, my spirit, my body, it changed me. And tonight you say, how do you know that? Because it's effective in what it does. If you get saved and you're still under bondage, you're saying that that word ain't enough to free you. That book, that word, that written word is enough to free a person. Prayer is enough to free a person. The problem is we don't pray to get free because of like what we're in. When's the last time, man, I hear, we ain't going to preach tonight. We're going to do a Bible study. You know what I'm saying? When was the last time you had something in your life you wanted to be delivered from, but you ain't called it out in prayer? You thought about it. You wanted to be. You thought it was a good idea, and you knew you'd be living a better life if it wasn't in there. But you said, if I do, he might take it. He will take it. But as long as you sit there and don't ask Him, you'll keep dealing with it all of your life. And it'll be that Achilles heel that's in your life the rest of your life. You can get over everything but that one thing that you love, and you won't bring it up in your prayer meeting. You won't bring it up in your quiet time, because if you do, He's going to take it. And you know He's going to take it because that Word of God is sharp, powerful, and it's quick, and it'll get on you. And you know if you do, He's going to take it, and then you ain't going to have what your crutch is. It's effective tonight. Let me turn here. They're ready to come in. Let's turn here tonight. I want to show you this. It's eternal, it's extreme, and it's very effective. 2 Timothy, if you will, chapter number 3, verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. You say, preacher, are you sure that it's effective? If I put it to work in my life, are you sure it'll work? I promise you, it's eternal. It's extreme what it can do. And it's effective. All Scripture, not some of it, what I like and don't like, but every bit of it, cover to cover. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If God breathed it, I need it. And it's profitable for doctrine. If you're sick, He'll fix you. If you need reproof, He'll reprove you. If you need correction because you're going the wrong, He'll correct you. If you need instruction, He'll instruct you in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why are we not praying tonight? Number one, are we terrified of what it'll do if we do pray? Now, you got a prayer list. You pray for them people. I understand that. I do too. I got one. Well, when was the last time you prayed for yourself? Number one, I understand when I pray, it may be terrifying what He'll reveal in my life. I understand it might disappoint me. and what he might show me in my life. But I understand this tonight. If I'll pray sincerely and ask God to help me, it'll multiply things in my life. That word will get alive, it'll get real, and it'll be just so sweet. Tonight, I ask you a question. This is, when was the last time you prayed sincerely that God would move on something in your life? I don't know about you tonight, but I thank God for the power of prayer. I thank God tonight. It ain't got to be perfect. It ain't got to be pretty. It ain't got to be long. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It shows it exactly what it is. If you don't want to know the answer, don't pray about it. If you want to know the answer, pray about it. He'll reveal it. Amen. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Bless these group of people. Father, I thank you for the power of prayer. I thank you tonight that brothers and sisters in this place, Father, I know they're praying. You can feel the prayer. And I thank you for that tonight. I don't want to be a dying church. I want to be a praying, living church. A church that loves you, Father, and on fire for you. And when a brother or sister's down, we pray for them. And they don't have to wonder if somebody's praying. They can feel that prayer, that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It availeth much. Lord, I pray whatever's going on in our life, that you reveal it tonight and deliver us from it. In Jesus' holy, precious name, all of God's people said, have a good week.